I would like to speak to you this morning on a message entitled, The Son of Man is Coming. The Son of Man is Coming. Now, many of you have that are Christians, y'all have heard about the second coming of Christ, the rapture of the church. Y'all have heard about that. Amen? Amen. Y'all have heard about that. And I would like to speak to you about that. I believe with all that has been going on, I know that I looked at history, you know, in the 1940s during World War II, so much of the church worldwide thought that the rapture was about to happen. And so, you know, it did not happen. And they thought Hitler was the Antichrist, and he was had the spirit of Antichrist, definitely, but he was not the final Antichrist. And so, you know, throughout history, we've the church for the past 2,000 years, the church has had a pretty good thing on saying, this is it, we're about to leave. And so I know that what Scripture says in regards to prophetic end times, I know that it could happen at any moment. At any moment. And you know, as a Christian, the Bible teaches us to be prepared in season and out of season. What does that mean? And it's not necessarily that the rapture of the church is about to happen, the second coming of Christ is going to happen. You could very well breathe your last breath today. And I want you to seriously think about that. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready to stand before the throne of Jesus? Do you have a clear conscience? Or is your mind, are you struggling in your mind with some secret sin? Are you, I know that there is forgiveness at the cross. I know that. But the Bible calls us to be victorious over the things of the enemy. The Bible tells us, gives us a way, because Jesus is the way, how to be a people that are good and pleasing and honorable before God. The Bible says that we are citizens of heaven, though we still live on this earth. The Bible says we are ambassadors of Christ, that we are no longer a part of this world system. We are no longer a part of the ways of this world. Even though we still live in this world, we are not of this world. And so Jesus looked at Pilate and told him as he was arrested, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. So though God created this world, the Bible clearly says the outcome of this world will be destroyed by the fire of God. The Bible says that. Not a fanatical preacher, not me. The Bible says that. You know, the Bible says a lot about what is to happen. And I want you to understand, the world is about ages. The Bible clearly talks about in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, ages. A-G-E-S, ages. And so, from the age of Adam and Eve to the age of Noah, to the age of the New Testament before Christ, and to the age of the church now, and then the age of the tribulation, which is a 7-year period, and then the age of the millennial reign of Christ on earth, which is a 1,000-year reign. Those are all known as ages. And so we have been going through ages, and the church age is about 2,000 years now. And so according to so much of the Bible, we are really at the end of this church age. At the end of the church age comes the age of the tribulation, a 7-year period where the final Antichrist will rule and reign. And then after that, Jesus, the second coming of Christ, as recorded in the book of Revelation, will happen, and Christ will reign on the earth for a literal 1,000 years. That is another age. So when people say the end of the world is coming, it's not coming. Because at the end of the 1,000-year reign, then the world will be destroyed by the fire of God. And so during that 1,000-year reign of Christ, it says that Satan will be locked up in the pits of hell for 1,000 years. And at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, then Satan will be let loose to deceive the world once again for a very brief short period. But then that is when God will intervene and put it all to an end, and the judgment begins. Everything. And so we're so far away from the actual end of this physical world. We're actually going up to the end of the church age. And we're so very close to that because there is an event called the rapture. The rapture means caught up in the Greek. It means to be caught up. Now you got to understand something. There are two people in the Bible who have never died. They were simply caught up. Enoch, in the book of Genesis, it said he walked with God 300 years, and then he was simply taken. in the original Hebrew that it's written, it's the word is used, caught up. And Elijah, the prophet Elijah in the Old Testament, he never died as well. He was simply caught up, raptured, in a chariot of fire to heaven. So it's happened twice. Two men who have never tasted death, they were simply just caught up. And so I personally believe that it is these two men, Enoch and Elijah, who will be the final two witnesses of God in the book of Revelation, because in the book of Revelation it says that there will be two men that will appear in Jerusalem and they will preach the gospel one final time to the entire world, and the final Antichrist will kill them and their bodies will lay in the streets for 3 days. This is all in the book of Revelation. And it says that people will send gifts to each other, and the whole world will witness their bodies dead in the streets of Jerusalem at one moment. That could never have happened until our time now. With the technology and the communications that we have, we can witness anything instantly around the world live. So we are in that age. We are in that time. There is nothing that has to happen for this rapture of the church. I want to talk to you about this. The rapture of the church is not the same thing as the second coming of Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18, it says in the New Testament, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." That means Christians who have died, they are in the grave, in coffins. They're dead. They've been cremated. Dead Christians will rise first. "Then we who are alive," the Christians are alive on the earth, "will and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And therefore comfort one another with these words." This message of the rapture of the church is a word that is to encourage you. Because as a Christian, you have a heavy heart for living in this world. As a Christian, what you see happening in this world has to bother you. And if it does not bother you, you need to get saved. Because for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. Why did God do that? Because his heart was grieved at the wickedness of men. The Bible says in the book of Genesis that when God looked at the earth in the days of Noah, it said that God's heart was grieved and he brought a flood upon the world. And the Bible says that just as it was in the days of Noah, and just as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. God's heart is grieved at the evil that is happening every day in this world. All of the injustices, all of the pain, all of the hurt. God cares. God loves. He is a God of grace and mercy, but he is a God of fury, wrath, and judgment. And we cannot have the grace and mercy of God without the wrath and judgment of God. God says in his word that he is coming, that the world has an appointment with his wrath and his judgment. And so you who are in Christ, you who heard the call deep within your soul to the repentance of your sins and to surrender all to the Lord, because that is what the Lord did for you. He surrendered all and went to the cross to pay a price you could never have paid for your eternal sin. He is the example of what it means to give all to God so that others can live. Your Christianity is not about you. Your Christianity is about others. And though we may rub each other the wrong way, though we may hurt each other the wrong way as Christians, we're called to excel in that. We're called to forgive each other. Jesus says, "The world will know my disciples by the love they have for each other." And that is why so much power of God is not in the churches today, because there's not much love in the churches of Jesus Christ. And I'll speak about the churches in America. They're so competitive with each other. They're so territorial with each other. They fight so much. And this is breaking the heart of God as well. There's so much going on where pastors cannot get along and even pray together. There's so much of this happening. All the while, people are in pain and hurt. And we have the most incredible message that can set a captive free. Your Christianity is not about you. When you start leading people to Christ, when you start telling people about the gospel message of Christ, when you start leading people to Christ, you're a Christian. You're a Christian. Because that's what Christians do. That's what they do. Because somebody led them to the cross. Somebody led them to understand the forgiveness of sin. And that's what life is all about. Because in the twinkle of an eye, the Lord will come and he will call up the dead and the alive on this earth. And we will meet the Lord in the air. And at that moment, the church age will have just ended. And the 7-year tribulation age of the final Antichrist will begin. I don't know when this rapture will happen. It may happen today. It may happen in 20 years. I have no idea. Because the Bible says that a day to us is like 1,000 to God. And 1,000 years to God is like a day to us. The book of Isaiah says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. How can we even understand the things of God with our human brain? That's why the role and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is active in the life of the Christian. Because I cannot come to this message with you in the wisdom of human, but in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who is speaking to you right now, not me. It's the Holy Spirit who gives wisdom to all of us to understand the tug in our heart, to make us know that these words you're hearing, it's truth, because it's from the truth, the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 52 says this. Paul says to the church, he says, "Behold," meaning listen, "I tell you a mystery." Mysteries are meant to be solved. God does not want to keep anything from you. That's why the Bible says to show yourself an approved worker of Christ. Be a diligent, approved student of the Word of God. When you know what the Word of God says, because the Spirit of God has revealed things to you, you will understand the mysteries of God. There are mysteries of God. Paul says, "I tell you a mystery." Here's one of them. "We shall not all sleep," meaning we will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, he's referring to the rapture. "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we," those who are alive, "shall be changed." Say amen. Some of you are in a body that you just don't like right now. And I'm not talking about being overweight or being underweight. I'm talking about the pain, the hurt, the suffering that you're going through. Some of you are going through some suffering and it's secret. You put the smile on your face and you don't tell nobody what you're going through, but God sees it. God knows it. And God loves you and God cares. But it's time to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody could come through the Father except through Christ alone. It's either all about Jesus or it's not about Jesus. And so when you take what Jesus did on the cross personally, you're going to be sold out for Jesus. He was battered and bruised, naked on the cross. I know the movies show that he had a little cloth around his midsection. He was naked. The book of Isaiah says he was marred beyond human recognition. But yet not one bone was broken. His flesh was badly, badly bruised. And yet he said not one single word. Because he knew that it would bring life to you and I today, that it would bring life to multitudes, that it is the healing work of Almighty God. And so how dare we as Christians take this walk with Christ for granted? How dare we offend and hurt each other as Christians? I know what it's like to fail God as a Christian, and I hope I'll never go back to that place again. But I stand before you with a clear conscience, with a right heart, knowing that I'm going to do everything that God calls me to do through his strength, his wisdom, and his direction. Now, Paul says this is a mystery. The world cannot understand that, but you, Christian, can. The sad thing about this is that if we get full of the world again, we forget the things of God, and we cannot understand the things of God. So stop being full of the world. Turn off the view. Turn off the Kardashians. Turn off the Wheel of Fortune. Amen. Turn it off, because the price is not right. It's not worth your soul. Acts 1, 9 through 11. Jesus is ascending back to heaven. He is resurrected from the dead. He's leaving his disciples. He's ascending. Verse 9. After saying this, Jesus spoke to them. He, Jesus, was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. And they strained to see him rising into heaven. And two white-robed men suddenly stood among them, angels. And they said, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." What are the scriptures that we just read? He will come down in the cloud, and at the last trumpet call, he will call the Christians up to him. You know, UFOs are in the news today. Do you know that they've been having congressional hearings about UFOs? How our government has been hiding these things. There are respected military pilots that have seen these things, aircraft pilots who have seen these things, and they're all on record. High-ranking military officials saying that the Department of Defense or whoever has had divisions inspecting these things for years and years. Let me just tell you this. Life is only on planet Earth. The sophisticated life that we know of, our DNA, what I'm talking about? Yes, there may be organisms out there, but nothing like this. Nothing like this. Life is only on Earth. If there is any activity out there that you see, it's demonic manifestation. The Bible says that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. You see, when the two angels came into Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm going to give you something here. The two angels, when they came into Sodom and Gomorrah, they appeared as men. And the men of Sodom and Gomorrah wanted to have sex with them. The angels, you know the story, they got Lot and his family out. They did not realize that these two men were actually angels. You see, angels, whether heavenly angels or fallen angels, have the ability to transform into something else. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the air. So they have the ability, watch this, to transform into other things. When Jesus stood in the boat on the lake, and the Bible says that Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves. He rebuked them and he said, "Be still." You see, if God had caused the wind and the waves to do all that, to bring fear into the heart of the disciples, and Jesus stands up and rebukes that, he's actually rebuking God. But God did not cause that. That storm was caused by who? The prince of the air, Satan. Satan and every fallen angel has the ability to do certain supernatural things. And that is why Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves, because it was coming against the things of God. Whatever comes against the things of God, whatever takes your mind off of the things of God, it's demonic. The Bible in the book of James says there are two kinds of wisdom: wisdom from heaven and earthly wisdom. And it says, and its root is demonic. That's in the book of James. Now, when the rapture of the church happens, how many will that be worldwide? The number, I don't know. But the Bible talks about a lie that will be introduced by the final Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that they will believe the lie. There is a lie that is going to be introduced to the world. What is this lie? This lie is going to be centered on why millions of people have suddenly disappeared. And it will have to do with extraterrestrial life. Because the world is buying it already. We're transforming. We're evolving. Our gender is different. We can identify with whatever. They're already buying that stuff. And so, as you desensitize people, in their morals. As you desensitize them and they become more and more exposed to sin, when a move of God actually happens, they won't recognize it. So much that when the two angels came to Lot's house in Sodom and Gomorrah, his wife could not even recognize that this was actually the salvation of God. And that's why she turned back around and turned into a pillar of salt. So many people do not even recognize the salvation and a move of God. Right now, God is moving right in this room right now. And some people don't even recognize that. Some people are thinking about what they're going to do later today. Some people may be saying, man, I wish you would hurry up. But God is on the move. And so that is going to be the lie that is explained to why millions of people have suddenly disappeared. And all of them have to do with the name of Jesus. And they're going to say something to the along the lines of, well, we're evolving. Just like the monkeys evolved, we're evolving. Oh, well, here's this guy who has the answers and the cure to cancer, the cure to this, the cure to that. Because so much of the world recently has been gripped in fear with COVID and it's supposedly coming back and all of that. You see what I'm saying? It's lining up like chess. Little pieces all over the place. But if you just keep your eyes and your hope on Jesus, you will be labeled a fanatic. You will be labeled a religious zealot. You will be labeled a homophobic. You will be labeled a hater. But your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because Jesus himself said, the road to hell is wide, and many shall find it. And the road to heaven is narrow, and only a few shall find it. That is what the Son of God has said. And if you have a problem with what I'm saying, you take it up with Jesus, because I'm speaking his word. But there will be people in the lake of fire for eternity that will hear my voice, repent, but it's too late. The most famous name in heaven is Jesus, and the most famous name in hell is Jesus. Why isn't it the most famous name on your heart right now? If you're saved, praise God. But he's coming. Look, Matthew 24, 38 through 39. Jesus says, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking. There's nothing wrong with marrying. But when it's done in perversion and it's not centered on Christ, then it's wicked. And in the days before the flood, the eating and the drinking and the marrying was wicked. And it grieved the heart of God. And that's why I say, if you're in sin today, repent. God's not mad at you. He loves you. There is salvation. There is forgiveness. I don't care what you did last night. God is interested about right now. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ today. You know, the Christian in this world is becoming a fewer and fewer and fewer, but we're not alone. We're not abandoned. There is still a number of us throughout this world. But so many churches have pulled away from the biblical message of Jesus Christ. And this is the message. Look, verse 39 says this. Let me read this again, verse 38 and 39. For as in the days before the flood, Jesus says, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they, the people, did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. You see, when God judged the earth at that day, he spared 8 righteous souls. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their 3 wives. And everybody else died. God knows how to save people when his judgment falls. God's done it before, and he's going to do it again. But God, there's millions of people this time. How are you going to do that? The rapture. God knows your heart. You can fool your pastor. You can fool your husband. You can fool your wife. You can fool your kids. You can fool your doctors, but you cannot fool the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows those who belong to him. Matthew 24:44 says this, therefore, Jesus says, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Amen. Amen. He's coming. You know, I don't like living in this world, but I'm going to make a difference as much as the Holy Spirit would allow me to. At my funeral, I told Anna, y'all better have some partying going on, because, I mean, I am going to be rejoicing. I would rather be with the Lord today, but he has breath in me, and so I will be faithful to him and do what he calls me to do. I'm not a perfect man. I'm not a perfect Christian. I'm not. God knows my frailties and weaknesses, but I have a clear conscience. I have a clear conscience, and I thank God, and God knows that. And it's all for his glory alone. And that's what God wants us to say as his children. He wants us to be able to stand up and say, I'm not perfect, but I am righteous and holy, because the Bible says, be holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Amen? We are called to be a holy people, to be set apart for the things of God. Who goes into their kitchen drawer and has a big, tough piece of meat to cut, and they pull out the knife drawer, and they grab the dullest knife? You know the sharpest knife in that drawer, and you go to it all the time. Amen? Amen. Sometimes you got to get all those knives together and you take them to the sharpener to get them sharp for future use, right? That's what God does through your trials and tribulations of your life. He's sharpening you. Everything that God allows you to go through is to develop you to be who he wants you to be. Do you know how you grow in the love of God? The way to grow in the love of God depends on how you respond to those who hate. I was sitting Friday night with my wife, and we were just talking and praying about things, and the Lord hit me with that. And I'm going to be honest with you. I said, man, that sounds like something Martin Luther King would say, you know? And like, because, and it's true. The way you grow in his love depends on how you respond to those who hate. And man, we got to remind ourselves of that every single day, because there are people in this world who think they know love, but they hate. And this world is becoming more and more full of people who hate, who hate, who hate. I experience it. You experience it. And the key to all of this is what Jesus said. The world will know my disciples by the love they have for one another. Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13. I want to read this to you. The rapture is coming. It's going to come at an hour that we will not expect it. While everyone is saying peace and safety, while everyone is saying all is well, the Bible says destruction will come upon the world swiftly. We live in a world today where weapons can catch the world's attention in the twinkle of an eye. And I firmly believe that when it's all said and done, there will be some nuclear weapons that will be detonated and will destroy millions and millions of people's lives. This is not to bring fear into your heart, because the Bible says, as a Christian, we do not have the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Now, I want you to understand something. As a Christian, occupy. As a Christian, take and give. What does that mean? That means do your best to spread the gospel of Christ. Work hard, build, all in the name of Jesus. Everything you do, do in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know if I shared this last week with y'all, but there was a man that was being interviewed though in Maui, where the fires were in the Hawaiian Islands, and his family had been there for 200 years. And he was talking about how everything's destroyed. You know, his family goes back 200 years on that island. That's a long time, guys. But he says, but we're going to rebuild. He goes, I thought I was going to die. He goes, y'all don't know how bad it was. He says, but he says at the very end, he goes, but I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for saving me, and it's all of him, and we're going to rebuild. Well, praise God. Praise God. Things happen in this world, but in the name of Jesus, you get up and make a difference. You do your job, whatever job you're doing, make sure it's for the glory of God. Amen? Make sure you don't cheat, don't steal, don't lie. Tell the truth. Embrace truth. Love truth. Amen? Because there are fewer and fewer people who have that heart. In Matthew 25, Jesus says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." You see, these women, Jesus has given an illustration of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And not only that, but his rapture, the coming of Christ for the church. And so these 10 virgins, they were promised to the bride, to the groom. And as the church, we are called the bride of Christ. Amen? So this is symbolic. This is very illustrative of our relationship, the church, with Jesus. Jesus is the groom. "Look, the kingdom of heaven, it shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom." The church is now going to meet Jesus. It says, "Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish." Sadly, we have that in the church today. "Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." That's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. You see, they knew the things of God. They heard about the things of God, but they had no relationship with God. They were foolish. You cannot sustain your Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. It will not happen. Jesus said, "I am going away, but I will send you the Holy Spirit. He will be with you to the very end." Jesus goes on to say in the book of John about the Holy Spirit, he says, "He will remind you, he will teach you, he will lead you of all things that have been said and will be said." The book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, all 7 letters, at the end of the letters, it says, "Those who have an ear, let them hear what the Holy Spirit says to the churches." Without the Holy Spirit, we're lost. And these 5 had no oil. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. You pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. The name of Jesus will save you, but the Holy Spirit will transform you. Verse 2, "Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish." Verse 3, "Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." Verse 4, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept." That's the church today. So much of the church is asleep. We are relaxed. We're taking things for granted. So many churches, including this church, is suffering in the ministry because of a lack of support. So many pastors are given up by thousands every week. Thousands of pastors worldwide give up because there's no support from the congregation. There's no one who is wanting to pray and believe in the things of God. You know, Moses was out there and his arms, as long as he held the staff up, the move of God would happen. The waters would stay parted. But his brother and his sister had to come up beside him to hold his arms up. It's symbolic that Moses could not do this on his own. He needed Miriam and Aaron, his brother and sister, to come along beside him to do the things of God, to be a part of the things of God, to see the supernatural, the miracle of God. And that's the way it is today in churches. Pastors cannot do all of this on their own. And they need the help of brothers and sisters to pick the arms up and to see the move of God. And I know, I've known so many pastors who have closed the doors, who have walked away because they were discouraged, because they were hated on, and it's heartbreaking. And that's how we quench the Spirit of God. When there's no love. Because you're all about your life, and that's why I say your Christianity, it's not about you. It's about others. Jesus said, "I come to serve, not to be served." Jesus said, "I come to give an example that you should follow." You know how frustrating it is to say this week in and week out and see no difference, no change? But I got to be careful, because if I hit that rock, I too can lose my reward. I too can show lack of faith. I trust God. I know God's going to get his work done, regardless of who's there or who's not. Because he told the prophet Elijah, there are 7,000 more, just like you, Elijah, who have not bowed down to Baal. I've got them, and I'm going to do this work. And there's times where God just does something supernaturally, and you don't know how it happened. Amen? Everything you're going through is a test of your faith. And so, in the twinkle of an eye, the Lord comes. They all fell asleep. Verse 5, they all fell asleep. Kind of like John and Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane, they all fell asleep. We're all asleep. And I'm not judging my brothers and sisters in Christ, but at the same time, the Bible says, judgment begins in the house of God. What do we have to do with things outside in the world? The Bible says, the New Testament says, we are to talk about the things inside the church, things that are wrong inside the church. It's time for prayer warriors to rise up. It's time for people who say they believe in Jesus to count the cost and to suffer and to show up for the fight. Because when this final Antichrist comes and you miss the rapture, you see, because it'll be by faith. My people shall live by faith. And it's the faith problem that we have. If you believe that prayer really works, you show up. If you believe that Jesus really loves, you'll share that love with Jesus to everyone. It's all about faith. It says at midnight, verse 6, a cry was heard. And behold, the bridegroom is coming. That was the voice. And go out to meet him. Then all those virgins, the whole church, they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. You can't buy the Holy Spirit. But I know today in churches, it's for sale. But they're not getting the Holy Spirit. And so look what they do. But the wise said, no, go and buy from those who sell and buy for yourselves. And so then while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. They got oil, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. They went to buy something. They got something. And you see, people think they have God, but they really don't. These five foolish virgins went and bought oil. And look, verse 11. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Jesus said, so watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. You see, these foolish ones, they went and bought oil. You see, you can go to, the thought in America is, oh, God's in all the churches. You can just go to any church in America, you'll find God. Isn't that what Oprah says? There are many paths to God. That's what Oprah says. There are many paths to God. And so if that's the case, these five foolish ones, when they went to go buy oil, they should have had the oil so they can get in. But it was not the things of God. It was not the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of oil being sold today, but it's not God. It's not the Holy Spirit. And so verse 14 says this, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a faraway country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, meaning abilities, ability, skill, opportunity. To another 2, and to another he gave just 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them. This is Jesus telling this. And made another 5 talents. And likewise, verse 17, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And so he had received 5 talents. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents and saying, Lord, You delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Faithful. My people shall live by what? Faith. It was faith that brought a pleasing thing to the master. Verse 22. And he who had also received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there, you have what is yours. See, this man lied. God loves the whole world. God has planted the word everywhere. The Bible says that when the whole world receives the gospel, then the end shall come. This man was lying. Verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. The Lord was being, condescending. He said, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and in my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. And for to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast his unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, wow, what a way to end a sermon. God is looking for faithfulness, because that is what Christ demonstrated on the cross. Faithfulness unto death. And that's why Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must humble themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me daily. And that's why a lot of people don't want to follow the true Christ of the Bible, because it means death. Death to this world. And you're allowing temporary things to dictate eternal decisions. I want you to be wise. Wise. Like the 5 who were wise, who had a relationship with God, who knew the things of God. Yeah, there are conspiracy theories in the world. Yeah, there's all kinds of this and that going on. But who cares? When's the last time you led someone to the cross of Jesus? When's the last time that you really, really made a difference in someone's life? You fed somebody. You helped somebody. You clothed somebody. You visited this person. You did that. When's the last time? That lacks in this church. That lacks in all the churches. Sadly, a lot of people think, well, it's the pastor's job. It's the pastor's job. No, it's all our job. If we call ourselves the body of Christ, it's all of our job. The only way you're going to get through this pain and suffering is by looking to the pain and suffering of others. And God will take care of your need while you're tending to the needs of others. That's what true Christianity is about. And these 2 were faithful. They took the ability that God had given to them, those talents, and they went and they made a difference. They made a difference in the world for the glory of God. And the other one, who was lazy and wicked, he had time, he had talent, he had treasure, but he did nothing. He just buried it. A lot of us are burying Jesus. We're burying Jesus. To us, it's just a game. To us, it's not really real, this Jesus. But in the twinkle of an eye, we're out of here. We're gone. Today's the day of salvation. If you know what you're supposed to do, Christian, do it. Serve. Be faithful. If you know, if you see a need that needs to be met, do something, because God's given you revelation to do something about it. I tell these kids, did you see that paper on the floor, that trash on the floor? Yeah. Why didn't you pick it up? Oh, well, I learned that lesson a long time ago when I got a job as an 18-year-old. I was in a room with about 100 guys, and the CEO of the company comes in. He walks in, and he picks up the trash that was on the floor. He walks with it, and he goes, "When I first started this with this company 30-something years ago, I started off as a janitor." He goes, "And now I'm the vice president of this company." It's a big company. Grocery supply. He goes, "And there's been a piece of trash right there, and I planted it there before anybody came in here this morning." He goes, "But I just want to show you what's on the other side of this trash." And he flipped it up. It's a $100 bill. He's like, "Could have been yours." Put it in his pocket. He says, initiative will get you a lot way. You know, even the world understands this. And as a Christian, we're supposed to leave a place better than when we first arrived. Sometimes I go into a men's bathroom and I see paper all over the place. It drives me crazy. Why? Because I'm the janitor here at the church too. And it's just in me to, man, clean this up. So I pick it all up and throw it away, and then I wash my hands, and then I'm out of there, you know? It's just natural. When you see needs, people needs a need, you know, you're gonna meet the need because you're following Jesus. Because you're doing what Jesus would do. And in the twinkle of an eye, you're home. That's it. Look, this is it. The Son of Man is coming. He's coming. Honor the King. Come into the church. Sing songs to Him. Praise His holy name. Go out there in society and sing to Jesus. Praise His name. Turn off the secular stuff and turn into the Holy Spirit. Let the Lord speak a fresh word to you. Amen? I'm telling you, because in the twinkle of an eye for the Christian, this is all gone. It's all gone. It's all gone. Yes, there are things in this world we can enjoy, but let Christ be the center of it all. Make a difference in this world. And no eye has seen, and no ear has heard, what God has prepared for those who love Him. It's in heaven. Give God praise in His house. Amen. Receive that word in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.